The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. What does God require from us for eternal life, for salvation? Is it a matter of simply giving our heart to the Lord, or just confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, or, as many believe, simply believing on Him and we are saved? Is there anything we must do, or has it all been done for us by Jesus Christ, our Savior? Once we're under grace, we are saved, and once saved, always saved. Is that true? What does the Bible actually say about grace and about law and grace? Is it law or grace, or is it a matter of law and grace? First, let's notice Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Please get your Bible and open it up and follow along as we go through this subject. That way you can prove it for yourself. You can see it with your own eyes. You're not taking somebody else's opinion for it. Because really it comes down to this point. It's not a matter of your opinion, my opinion, or someone else's opinion. It comes down to what does the Bible actually say about law and grace, or law or grace. Well, let's start by turning to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Paul said here under inspiration of God, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So we see here that grace is a gift from God. And what is grace? It is undeserved pardon, unmerited forgiveness of all of our sins. Because God gives us the gift of grace, all of our sins are blotted out under the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We cannot earn grace. It is not given according to our works, no matter how many and how noble those works might be. But once we're under grace, upon deep repentance and baptism, are we then saved? Do we have anything that we must do? What is our part in this matter of salvation and eternal life? Please take your Bibles now and turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. Notice Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And he said this, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So Jesus said that we must endure to the end in order to be saved. Salvation is a process. We are in the process of being saved, and in order for that to ultimately happen, God requires us to do our part. And in order to do our part, we must endure all the way to the very end of our lives, or until Jesus Christ comes again. But what is our part? Does the Bible tell us what's required of us? Let's stay right here in this book of Matthew and go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Once again, Jesus Christ explains, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" In verse 17, he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." How plain? Keep the commandments. "And he said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, You shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, he did not mention all 10 of the commandments here. He didn't need to. They all go together. What he did was list the commandments that this young man needed to do in order to get his life turned around. He knew this young man, and he knew what was required of him to get his life turned around. And so he said, keep these commandments right here. But of course, if he kept these commandments listed right here, he would also keep the rest of them. I mean, you don't find you shall have no other gods before the true God listed here, but he would not be able to have another God before the true God. So we know it's talking about the Ten Commandment law here by the commandments that are mentioned. And Jesus Christ said, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Now, this does not earn salvation for anyone, but it keeps us from losing salvation once we've been brought under grace. Even when we come under grace, we cannot go on sinning, or we will lose that grace and lose out on salvation itself. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Look at what Paul said here about this subject of grace and sin. He says here, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Verse 2, Romans 6, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" We've got to quit sinning. We can't practice sin anymore. We've got to come out of sin. We've got to overcome sin. And how do we do that? Well, we repent, we're baptized, and then through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we obey His law. We must stop sinning while we're under grace, or we will lose that grace. We will fall from grace, and therefore lose out on eternal life if we continue going in the wrong way and in the wrong direction. Now, what is sin? It says that we are to no longer continue in sin. Paul said that. But what is sin? Can we know? Let's turn over here to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It says in 1 John 3 and verse 4, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is breaking one or more of the Ten Commandments. That's what sin is. Where does that lead to? Paul also answers that question. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So salvation and eternal life is a gift of God through Christ. It comes as a result of us being under grace. But that's not enough. We have to also quit sinning. We have to overcome sin. We have to quit breaking the law. In other words, we must begin keeping the law, obeying the commandments. It goes together, grace and the law. Now, some people say and teach and believe that once you're saved and under grace, you can't sin anymore. You can't sin anymore because you're under grace. Well, is that what the Bible says? What does the Bible actually say about this point? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1 and let the Bible do the talking. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Here's the Apostle John, who wrote the book of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation, and was the apostle that Jesus said he loved in a special way. And look what he said, 1 John 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And John included himself in that word "we." As human beings, all of us sin. We all make mistakes. We all slip up. We all break God's law. We all do and say and think things that we should not do. But when we understand that or see that or come to ourselves, then we repent and ask Him to forgive us. And we confess those sins to Jesus Christ, not to somebody else. And He forgives us of those sins. Isn't that what John is saying right here? Let's repeat verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So yes, we all slip up and sin, but now when we repent, we are forgiven if we sincerely repent. And therefore, we remain under grace, or unmerited pardon of those sins. We are still on the road to eternal life and salvation if we endure all the way to the very end and don't fall away and don't backslide and don't keep going away from God in the wrong direction. If we do that, we're going to lose out on eternal life. So when you put all the scriptures together on this question of grace and the law, it is not a matter of law or grace. Rather, it is in truth law and grace. Salvation requires grace and the Ten Commandments. Look at what the brother Jesus Christ said about the law. Let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. You know, when James explains this matter of keeping the law and explains the truth about faith and works, that you need both faith and works, and that faith without works is dead, there are many people who doubt that his book is even inspired by Almighty God. Noted scholars denigrate and ridicule the book of James. Martin Luther went so far as to call it an epistle of straw. Can you imagine calling one of the inspired books of the Bible, written by the brother of Jesus Christ, James the Apostle, an epistle of straw, just because he talks about keeping the commandments and that you have to have faith and works? Well, no, it's Scripture. It's a tremendous book. It's inspired of God, and God used James to write it under inspiration. And look what he said here in James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. In other words, show partiality. Racism is sin. Favoritism is wrong. Partiality is unchristian. And that's what he's saying here in verse 9. Now let's notice verse 10 of James 2. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. So it's obviously talking about the Ten Commandments. It mentions here the seventh one, don't commit adultery, and the sixth one, don't kill. And if you break one of those, you've broken the law. You've broken one of the links, and the whole chain falls to the ground. And so what does he say here in verse 12? So speak you and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. In other words, keep the Ten Commandments. It's very clear if we're honest with what the Bible actually says. Now look at what John the Apostle said regarding the commandments of God. Let's go to his writings once again. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Do we believe what the Bible says? Do we change in order to fit in with what the Bible says, or do we try to change the Bible to fit in with what we want to believe? I hope we're honest with the Scriptures. I hope we'll take the Bible and see for ourselves and understand that the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. No matter what we've been taught, no matter what we have thought, no matter what our opinion is or other people's opinions are, no matter who told us what about this subject of law and grace, what really counts is what God tells us from His Word. And He's very clear on this subject. Let's see right here what He says about the Ten Commandments, or the law. It says here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now there are people who will come up to you on the street or in the airport or in the mall and say, do you know the Lord? Do you know what He says right here? John the Apostle, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. People can tell you they know the Lord, and you can tell others you know the Lord, but you know what John says? If you don't keep His commandments, you don't know the Lord. Look what he says in verse 4. He that says, I know Him and keeps not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's pretty powerful, and that's pretty plain. In other words, to truthfully answer, yes, I know the Lord, we also must answer, and with His help, I keep God's commandments. That's what John said here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, of course, we can't keep the commandments on our own, but we, with God's help, can grow in obeying the law. Jesus Christ helps us. He gives us the power to grow in obedience and keeping God's holy, righteous commandments. And they are holy and righteous, and they are not bondage, and they are not burdensome. They have to do with loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. The commandments are love. That's what John said himself. Let's notice here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Follow along and just take note. Don't take anybody's word for it. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, and let's just read what it says. Can we believe what God's word actually says on this subject of the commandments? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. Which commandments? The commandments of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And they aren't. They're all about love. And they are not done away. They were not nailed to the cross. The only thing nailed to the cross was Jesus Christ and our sins. In fact, Jesus Christ Himself made the law even more binding by requiring that we keep it in the spirit as well as the letter. He didn't do away with it. He magnified it. He made it even more binding. But by making it more binding, he also opened up more blessings when we keep it. Now we are flooded with spiritual blessings as well as physical blessings, as through his strength we keep the commandments. Just notice what Jesus Christ himself said about the law and the spirit of the law over here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's turn there. Matthew 5 and verse 21. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So in other words, Jesus Christ said, you've heard of old that you shall not kill. I'm telling you, you can't even hate your brother. You can't even despise another human being. You can despise what they do. You can hate their actions, but you can't hate them. Now the law is elevated to the spiritual level. In other words, what we think as well as what we do, which is the letter of the law. Let's notice another example of this down here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Christ said this, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now you can't even think about committing adultery with another human being. Now it's not just a matter of not actually breaking the seventh commandment, but we must not lust and think about breaking that seventh commandment and think about committing adultery or any kind of immoral act with anyone else. Now it's the spirit of the law as well as the letter. Now it's a matter of how we think as well as what we do. But in both cases, Jesus Christ did not do away with the commandments. He made them more binding. But the blessings are greater now as we keep that law through his strength. So we can see that in the clear light of Scripture, God requires us to do our part in order to be saved. We must yield to him and obey him and keep his commandments in order to stay under grace and be given the gift of eternal life. If we break those commandments, we jeopardize our eternal life, and if that becomes the way we live, that is, breaking the law, we're going to fall from grace, and we're headed away from eternal life toward eternal death. The Bible makes it very clear. Perhaps an example would be in order to further explain this basic point of the law and grace. Let's say you're going down the highway, minding your own business, and maybe you start talking, and you get distracted, and first thing you know, you've exceeded the speed limit, and now you're going way too fast, according to the traffic laws. And you look in the rearview mirror, and you see some lights flashing, and realize that a highway patrolman has pulled you over. So now you pull over, and he walks up to the door and asks for your license and your insurance, and says that instead of obeying the speed limit, you have exceeded the speed limit, and you've been doing so for quite some time. And then he goes back and checks your background and looks into your files and your records, and then comes back and says, okay, I've considered all the facts. I've looked at your record. I can see that your attitude is good. You're polite. You're sorry. This was a mistake, an unintentional infraction. You were distracted. So what I'm going to do is give you a warning ticket. I'm going to forgive you for breaking this traffic law. You're not going to be penalized. Your attitude is one of respect. Your attitude is one of being sorry. And you assure me that you will now be more alert and not do this again. Therefore, you are not going to get a ticket. But I want to warn you that from here on out, you must obey the traffic laws and you must drive within the speed limit. That's required of you to do that. So be on your way, but keep the traffic laws on the rest of your journey. Now, put that all together and think about it. He forgave you for breaking the traffic law. He did not put a penalty on you in the way of a traffic ticket. He saw your attitude, and it was good, and he realized you didn't mean to do this. Therefore, he simply warned you and sent you on your way. Are you free then to just keep right on breaking the traffic law? So now you don't have to keep the traffic laws. Even after he forgave you and gave you a warning ticket, not a real ticket, you go ahead and just, with impunity, exceed the speed limit and keep on breaking the traffic laws. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You were forgiven. Now you drive within the speed limit. Well, the same is true with God's law. Once we repent of sin, and through the sacrifice of Christ, he forgives us, and now we're under grace, which is unmerited pardon, we cannot just go on and keep breaking the Ten Commandments. We still must keep the law. In fact, we must keep it more carefully now. We're under grace, and now we live according to the Ten Commandments to stay under grace. If the law has been done away, tell me which commandment you feel it's okay not to keep anymore. Can you have other gods before the true God? I know you wouldn't do that. Can you make graven images? Out of the question. Can you take his name in vain? You're not free to do that. Are you now free to break the Sabbath? He says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Can you dishonor your father and mother, the fifth commandment? No. Can you now kill? That's breaking the law, and that's unchristian, and you wouldn't want to practice that as a Christian, of hatred and violence and even murder. Can you commit adultery and fornication and immorality? Out of the question, as a Christian. What about stealing? What about lying? What about coveting? If the law's been done away, you wouldn't even have to be concerned with any of those Ten Commandments. And I've never talked to a sincere, dedicated Christian yet who would tell me, okay, I'm under grace, now I can go break the commandments. Every single sincere, honest Christian will always say, thank God in his mercy, he's put me under grace, but now I must be even more careful about obeying him and yielding to him and bearing fruits and serving him and keeping his commandments with his help. Let's now turn over here to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 and just take careful note of what Jesus Christ himself said about this whole subject. This verse kind of sums up what we've been trying to cover in this program. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Notice what our Savior Jesus Christ said here. Luke 6, 46. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We can't just go around spouting the name of Jesus, Jesus, and do you know the Lord, and have you given your heart to the Lord, and have you confessed he's a son of God, and hallelujah and glory, glory, and blatantly disobey him. That's not enough to just say, Lord, Lord. He says that right here. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 47. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. In other words, to come to Jesus Christ is not enough. We have to obey him. We have to do what he says. And he follows up with an example here in verse 48. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. He practiced Christianity. He didn't just talk it. He practiced it. He talked the talk and walked the walk. He repented. He surrendered to God. He was forgiven of his sins, and now through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, he obeys him. He does what he says, and what does he say? He says, keep the commandments. Obey my Father's law. Now notice verse 49. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In other words, there was a lot of hearing there and a lot of talking, but there was no doing. And when we talk about doing, you know what? We're talking about works. We're talking about obedience. We're talking about keeping the law. We're talking about following the example of Jesus Christ. We're talking about being his ambassadors. We're talking about letting our light shine. We're talking about bearing much fruit which honors and glorifies our Father in heaven. We yield our life to God. We surrender our will to his will. And now we do what he says. And what does he say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first great commandment sums up the first four of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't have any graven images. Don't take my name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the last great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, sums up the last six commandments of the law. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. And do not covet anything that anybody else has. That's the law of love. And that's the law of God. And keeping that law will not save you or me. And keeping that law will not give you or me eternal life. But breaking that law will destroy our salvation. It will torpedo what otherwise would be the gift of eternal life. We're being saved through grace. Salvation is a gift, but in order for God to give us that gift, we have to do what he says. And to do what he says means we obey his law. So when you really look at all the scriptures on this subject of law and grace, you have to come right back to the basic fundamental biblical truth of the matter. It is not law or grace. It is law and grace. Of course, just like we cannot earn grace, we cannot keep God's law on our own. But because God loves us and because we surrender to him, he gives us the free gift of grace. And because God loves us and because we surrender to him, he helps us and gives us the strength to keep his law. And therefore, through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to draw close to God, we're able to walk with God, we're able to obey God, we're able to live according to his law, and we're able to continue the process of salvation and continue living under grace, so that if we endure all the way to the end, we are then given the gift of eternal life and salvation in the family of God. That's brought about by the combination of law and grace. His law, his grace. If you would like more information on the subject of salvation, call for our free two-part CD series entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? And we'll send this material to you by return mail free of charge. There will be no obligation and no follow-up. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.